Good morning, Wisconsin. Good morning, world. It's a new day, and thank you for kicking it off with us here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, locally grown radio. Got your host, James J. here. I am joined by CEO of your United Way of Southwood and Adams Counties, Terry Johns.
Good morning.
And in studio with us, our great friend, Madison Rafter, Executive Director of the Southwood County Humane Society, with our Pet of the Week. Good morning, Madison.
Good morning.
Thanks for being here. We appreciate it. Madison, before we get to our Pet of the Week, you were mentioning to Terry and I in our pregame here that you got some more rabbits there.
Yeah.
I hope you know how much I respect you and I appreciate what you do for our community and how great you are at your job. So I don't ever want to come across like I'm trying to tell you what to do or anything. Have you thought about teaching them abstinence? Or maybe a person coming in to... They did that for us in school. They brought a teacher and tried abstinence and everything.
So like bunny school?
Isn't there like a ring thing or something like that about, promising or something? Maybe try that. I don't know. Maybe try it because, you guys are a little bit full over there.
Yeah, sadly, the rabbits kind of came in before they were in our care,
so we didn't
have the ability to teach them that
next time.
Next time, yeah.
Thank you very much for being here and putting up with me, as always, Madison. Appreciate the time. Before we check out how things are going at the Humane Society, who is our Pet of the Week this week?
Our Pet of the Week this week is Khaleesi. Khaleesi is a 12-year-old husky. So we're starting to get a lot more seniors right now. It's kind of one of those things that it happens that we've just kind of had quite a few of them that have come in recently. Like we have Bourbon in the building right now. We had Khaleesi. We had a 20-year-old cat in the building. So Khaleesi is just, she's an old girl. She came into us as a stray, so we don't have a lot of history on her. Staff have discovered that she is most likely deaf, so she cannot hear either. She's a fantastic old girl. She just really wants to be by people. So she does have a little bit of that separation anxiety, just old ladiness of, you know what, I used to be by people probably all the time at one point. Then she came to us, and now she's not by people all the time.
Yeah.
We did have to move her into foster just because she was not doing well in the shelter environment. But other than that, she loves other dogs. She loves people. We're not sure how she'd be with cats, but she does not seem to be the kind of dog that seems like she has any sort of prey drive. But she's just a phenomenal girl and just really wants to be by people. She's kind of like a little Velcro dog, just wants to be on top of you, just wants to be next to you. And she's fantastic.
It's a husky. She just wants to be on your lap.
I'm such a sucker for huskies. I love huskies.
Look at you. Can he get a two for one? A husky and a bunny.
Yeah,
deal.
When it comes to, because there was a beagle at the one of the shelters I worked at that was deaf, and it was a younger beagle, though. And it had a hard time in the shelter because it seemed... it's tough for any of us. You put us in an environment like that, a human being in that situation, it would be difficult, let alone an animal that doesn't necessarily understand what's going on. These animals deserve an environment that they can live out the rest of their days in happiness and in comfort, and you can give that to them. There are so many families out there that would be a perfect fit for something like this. And when it comes to older dogs, I actually think that there is a type of person, a group of people out there that embrace this, that know that the window is smaller than your average animal, maybe when you bring it in as a puppy or something, but that's part of the beauty of the situation. I think that's part of the beauty of our interactions with animals. I never like saying I own an animal. We're friends or we got our, he's my roommate or something like that, even though Sam does not pitch in at all, has never done a dish in his life. To me, you create the environment like that, and all of a sudden you have a partner, you have a friend that you're happy to come home to in these things.
Yep. I mean, and she's a fantastic dog, and she just wants to have a family of her own. And a lot of dogs in the shelter environment, too, like, yes, it's not the best case scenario for an animal to come to the shelter. We don't necessarily love to have them. It's one of those things that we are here as a resource for it as a last resort kind of thing. But it's a stepping stone for that animal's path to continue to grow. Yeah. And hey, you know what? This is a step in their journey, and let's find them their next forever home. And it's one of those situations that sometimes, especially her, she did not do well in a kennel setting because she did not prefer to be isolated from people. She wanted to just be by people 24/7. Well, we can't have her up in the lobby at all times. We can't have her in an office because if somebody leaves the room, we're screaming our head off or we're breaking down gates, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So luckily, we have a fantastic group of fosters, and somebody was able to step up and take her just for at least a little bit, give her some time out of the shelter before she finds her forever home.
Oh, that's good to hear. Wanted to check up on how things are going at the store, the shop. How are things over there?
We're going good. I mean, we are full right now. I think we only have a couple of kennels across the building right now, and that is cats, rabbits, and dogs right now. So we are very full right now, but we're doing the best what we can for our animals, and we're supporting them the best we can. We've got a cat sale, adoption sale going on right now, where it is $30 adoptions for the rest of the month. So hopefully that's been going well, and we're getting some cats out the door as well.
Are there cat walkthroughs available right now?
Yep, cat walkthroughs. So you can stop by anytime during business hours to check out any of our furry felines. And then if you are interested in any dogs, we do ask an application is filled out before we set up an appointment.
And these, any of the dogs that we talk, our cats or any of the animals we talk about over there, people can see them online, correct?
Yep, all of our animals are available at SWCHS.com. There you go. That's
yeah,
the right one.
It takes a second. It's early.
It is early.
We've got some great stuff coming up in August that I wanted to just highlight really quick. The vaccine clinic and garage sale coming up August 12th. That is going to be a fun event taking place over at your building. You guys are hosting this one.
Yes, we are hosting it this time. We have a vet coming up that is going to be here. If you are interested in the vaccine clinic, we do need to have 20 pre-registrations filled out. Otherwise, we will not be able to host the vaccine clinic. So if you're interested, it is on our website for the link to sign up for it. Otherwise, you can find the information on our Facebook. We will make another post in a week or so. And then with our garage sale, we are asking for gently used pet items for our garage sale. It's a low-cost garage sale for people who are in need of supplies of dog bowls, cat towers. We had dog stairs in past, you name it. But we are asking for donations for our garage sale this year.
And I wanted to mention the Shoe Us Your Love. I love that name, by the way. I can't get tired of saying that. Our friends at the South County Humane Society hosting this. We're looking for gently worn used shoes to donate.
Yep. So we are running that until August 4th. We have about 60 bags. We're trying to reach 100 bags. And with that, you can bring Crocs, flip-flops, kids' shoes, snow boots, cowboy boots, steel toe boots, you name it. Mm-hmm. We've had every question of a type of shoe under the sun. We will accept it as long as there are no holes in it or tears in them.
And if you can't make it over to the Humane Society, you can drop those things off here. We'll get them to Madison and the team over there. You feel free to drop off the little gently used shoes here and be a part of this. It's a great way to not only get those out of the closet, get them out of there and stuff, and an excuse to get new shoes, which I personally am using this for.
Wow, were you just reading my mind? It's like, oh, what shoes could I get rid of?
But you're doing something. You're putting back into your community. You're really helping out our friends at the Humane Society do the great work that they're doing over there.
Bow Wow Meow and Animal Medical and Surgical are also drop-off spots for shoes. So if you can't make it out to the shelter, can't make it out here, you can check out one of those two locations as well.
Okay, so what are you doing with the shoes? Sorry, I'm not up to date.
It is an organization out of Florida that works with disaster relief. So hurricanes, you name it. And what it is it's a nonprofit helping another nonprofit. Mm-hmm. So we work with them and we collect the shoes for them. They bring a truck up here, bag them up, and then they give us a check for the shoes that we have brought in.
Okay. Awesome.
And that goes right back into the Humane Society and really helps you guys do that great work.
Yep.
Madison, if people have follow-up questions, want to know more about some of what we talked about today, how can they reach you?
Yeah, you guys can reach us. You can check out our website if there's any information that you want to look on there at swchs.com. You can shoot us an email at swchs@swchs.com. Otherwise, you can give us a call at 715-423-0505.
Always appreciate the time, Madison. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Great to see you.
Yeah, good to see you, Madison. We'll talk again next week. We'll be back with more on The Morning Show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Welcome back. Morning Show here at WFHR. We hope you're having a great start to your morning out there. Thanks so much for joining us, everybody. Going to get into a little bit of entertainment news now, but I do want to send a big shout out again to Madison Rafter and our friends at the Southfield County Humane Society. Find out more about all the great things that they're doing over there at swchs.com. Netflix is ditching its cheapest plan. This is hilarious to me because my parents just signed up for basically this plan. It feels like Netflix is in a three-way race with Twitter and a bunch of other things to declare the most unpopular things on Earth. Like, if you want to know how to ruin your business, Netflix is giving you a prime example of it right now.
Yeah, how did they abandon their whole sharing thing?
Yes.
So they
nuxed that out.
Okay.
And at first, it worked. It looked like it was actually going to work out for them. Their subscribers went up. But like a lot of things, that ended within a week. And now they're at this standstill where they're losing people and not really gaining much. Netflix just got rid of its cheapest ad-free plan, $9.99 basic subscription. The good news is if you're already on it, you can keep it, but new subscribers no longer have the option.
Oh, they got in just at the nick of time.
Got grandfathered in.
What's it getting added? What's it getting rolled up to?
There are now just three options: the $6.99 standard with ad plans, the $15.49 standard plan, and the $20 premium plan.
So, kind of the $15 probably is almost similar to your $9.99.
Yeah.
But you know, I guess I remember Netflix being $9.99 forever. Don't you? I mean?
Yes.
So I mean, it's not unreasonable to think that their prices would go up.
No. And I don't. I mean, we all have to kind of understand that that's just the world. This is the way things have always been. Inflation has always been a thing, and it's always been a part of it. However, that they have to understand too that people are going to be, you know, cutting. We had no problem cutting the cord when it came to cable. We can cut the stream.
But you know, if we can still share password,
I don't know if that makes sense.
Cheese, cut the cheese. If we can still share a password and split it, it's still cheaper than each of us doing $9.99. You know.
But but the way it is now, I can't imagine how much money and time and effort they spent into you making sure you're using it, nobody else is using it, and all this. Like they completely missed the mark on what they had going for them that nobody else really had. And I don't mean the sharing of passwords or anything. I mean, they were the first here. They were the first game in town. They had this great withstanding with the people. And this kind of like wink, wink, gentleman's agreement kind of thing of like, hey, we know you're sharing the password, but you know, we're also the biggest game in town. They lost a little bit of followers. They lost a little bit of things to Hulu and Disney and some other stuff and lost their minds. And it's like they've never seen how business works.
So don't you think that happens, though, in the – like you're top dog in any industry. You're either very innovative and stay ahead of it, or you rest on your laurels because you're like, hey, I'm the top dog. Yeah, I don't have to, you know, I'm here. I'm the king of the hill. I don't have to. And that's a mistake.
Absolutely. Oh, absolutely. But what you don't do is shoot yourself in the foot.
Oh, yeah.
Like maybe Netflix, what they should have done was maybe work on the products that they're creating and maybe keep some of them around a little bit longer instead of canceling a show after one season or half the things that they're making over there.
Although I do still think, though, people like Netflix. So you know, when they said, okay, no more password sharing, and then all of a sudden their subscriptions went way up, people were worried about not having access to, you know, what they've been watching. So I think, yes, some of their stuff is garbage, but that's everywhere.
6 million new subscribers have signed up in the second quarter of this year, the first earnings period since Netflix cracked down on the password sharing. I think that's very interesting, but what's going to be even more interesting is the second quarter. I want to see because
now that the price has changed, maybe even third quarter, you know, is going to be the key.
Because right now, every article I'm reading is people who did do this, they subscribing, and because they've never paid for Netflix before, now they're realizing, wait a minute, this is what I'm paying for? I don't want this. And because Netflix doesn't have like a year subscription or something like that, they're cutting it. So this earnings, like a lot of things in market and everything, is very skewed. This looks really good to their board members. This looks really good to their stockholders. If they have any brains in their head, they're realizing that this is not, there is a shelf life to this.
But people might also, on the other hand, have gotten the notice that they're grandfathered in and the price is going to go up 50%. Hmm. So they might also just hang on to it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like there might be, I think there's two different schools of thought there.
Absolutely. So Terry, if I told you who had the highest grossing tour in the last couple of years, or one of the highest grossing tours of the year, I give you a billion chances, I even give you tips and hints, and I don't think you would get it.
We talking music?
Yeah, yeah.
Huh.
And I don't think I would either, and I'm even a fan of this band. But remember earlier in this year when Robert Smith of The Cure stood up to Ticketmaster? He got them to issue partial refunds for their high fees and made sure fans could purchase tickets at low prices. We talked about it a lot. Well, it looks like all that good karma worked out in his favor because The Cure's Shows of a Lost World tour turned out to be their highest grossing of their career.
Wow.
That is good amazing to me. Yeah, they sold over 37.5 million in tickets. The average ticket price was $68, which is 37% less than the average ticket price of other tours this year.
Well, and they were what, 80s?
Yeah, in 80s, 90s.
Yeah. So I mean, they're pretty fairly far removed from that. So for this to be their highest, it's their highest, right?
Yeah,
tour?
Yeah.
I mean, that's pretty cool.
There's a lot of bands that I would have thrown out there to that question. Not The Cure, just because of what you just mentioned. They haven't had they haven't been on the radio in a long time. They haven't had a hit song in a long time, but they're a part of that. Like a lot of bands, they have that niche audience or that, mm-hmm. the followers, that group of fans that continue to be fans now. And a lot of their fans were teenagers in the 80s and 90s. Now they're older, have an income that they can spend with. So it probably works out a little bit better.
Cool.
I think that's pretty cool, though. That's awesome. And I've been talking a lot about the strikes and touching on those. I love being able to bring you guys information or things that I don't think is I'm not saying I have that nobody else does, but I don't think is necessarily being talked about.
Like mainstream news or media.
In our 24-hour news cycle, we give you five-minute stories, and very few stories can be summed up in 5 minutes. This strike is one of them. Even though writers and actors are on strike, some projects can continue as long as they're truly independent. The Actors Union, SAG-AFTRA, have given approval to 39 indie projects to keep on shooting. They've done this as a and you're not going to hear any of the studio people talk about this or any, especially not the owner of Netflix or any of this stuff. They're doing this as a goodwill kind of thing. And also a way of trying to help actors continue to work or not hold back the creative process. This doesn't have to do with money. It doesn't have to do with actors continuing their careers. It's the creative process continuing. They believe in the creative arts. They believe it's why they got into this industry. For every person who wants their 15 seconds of fame, there's somebody who didn't choose this career, it chose them. And they want these projects to continue. Death of a Unicorn, starring Paul Rudd and Jenny Ortega, that is going to continue. There's also a Mother Mary, starring Anne Hathaway. It's about relationships between a musician and a famous fashion designer. And there's a previous one announced, The Chosen, a series about Jesus. That got exemptions as well. Other actors with projects with exemptions, Matthew McConaughey, Sigourney Weaver, Rebel Wilson, Mark Wahlberg, are all continuing to work, but only on these projects. As far as I know, Matthew McConaughey, Sigourney Weaver, they have been on the front lines, with these protests and everything.
Yeah, supporting those efforts. Yeah.
I don't know if many people, and they've of course they won't own this or anything. It came out recently that the guy who runs Netflix said that they're prepared to hold out and play this game of chicken, even past people losing their houses. And I can't
That's
think
a dumb
of
a, thing to say.
I can't think of a more out of touch, dumber thing to say from somebody. Now Netflix has come out and said, "Well, we didn't mean that for that to leak, and he didn't really say that, and everything." Like, miss me with that. Like, it's already out there, man. You don't get to do that.
But it's just a dumb thing to say.
It's a very, very dumb and detached thing to say, and it has not helped Netflix sales. It has not exactly helped. A lot of people have been canceling their Netflix subscriptions because of that, in part with all this other stuff that Netflix is doing. Like, I come back to it. If you want to know how not to run a business, just look at what Netflix is doing right now. I'm serious. It doesn't mean that they're going to be, in a year from now, they're going to be out of business. You hit it on the head earlier. A lot of people have been using Netflix for a long time. It ain't going anywhere. I don't mean that. But there's a big difference of being a, you know, quadruple million dollar company and skating by. And your shareholders are the ones that are going to be knocking on the door and say, hey, Mr. I don't care if people lose their houses. Do you rent or own? Because, you might be out of a job, too. And I'm not going to cry a tear over that stuff. Not people like that who have no, first off, have forgotten what it is to be a human being. And also who are so out of touch that they don't deserve that job. Like, these CEOs, these executives, these people that are in these positions, for every person that is a knucklehead and probably doesn't deserve it, there are people that work their way up the industry to get these jobs. Bob Iger has said some really dumb things recently, and he seems very out of touch, but he wasn't always. Bob Iger was one of these guys that got to start from the ground up, and part of the reason Disney is where it is today is people like him. Like, they're innovators, they're very smart, and then you got guys like this guy at Netflix who are just completely detached and have no brain whatsoever. And I will probably not be working for Netflix anytime soon.
Probably not.
But as much as my agent may hate that stuff and everything, I'm nothing if I'm not if we are nothing as human beings if we don't stand by our word.
Absolutely.
You got to have something in this world to be able to lean on, and I apparently won't be my acting career. thank God for independent films. Independent films, though, baby. I'll always work. We will take a break right here, but I did want to mention one more time the Civic Media Challenge that is going on, our blood donation challenge. We encourage people to get in on this one. It's a great one. Calling on all heroes. Now until July 31st, if you donate, like say at the Stevens Point Blood Donation Center that's donating today, they started this off about an hour or so ago, going until about 2:45 at 3201 C Main Street in beautiful Stevens Point. You head up there, go ahead and donate, take a picture of yourself donating, and put it on your social media with the hashtag Civic Pints. That'll get you in the running for brewer tickets, state fair tickets, civic media swag, all that stuff. Now, if you do this locally and you include the hashtag WFHR or WIRI, or you tag us in your posts, just do that, and you'll get rafter tickets instantly, just like that.
Look at that. That's exciting.
You can also go to civicmedia.us/giveblood to upload it at our website just right from there. And while you're there, go ahead and bookmark the page. You can stream us there 24/7 and, of course, download all of our podcasts. And be a part of this. We encourage everybody that already has and spread the word about this great donation opportunity and great way to put back into your world. We'll take a break. Get to Melissa's news. We'll come back with more fun on The Morning Show at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR. 9:32 on the clock, locally grown radio. Terry and James here with you. Looking forward to diving into this one. I think it's always an interesting topic. Eating for two is no joke. A new poll of 2,000 moms found 89% had food cravings while they were pregnant. Sometimes weird things that they wouldn't normally eat. 30% said that was true to term. A few of the strangest cravings listed we'll get to in a second here. Terry, you're an amazing mother. You've been through this. Did you have any cravings or
not that I can remember? I mean, it's been a long time, but not that I can really remember. I do always, though, think about this, and I don't know how much it is now, but remember on TV they always used to portray pickles and ice cream?
Yeah.
Like for pregnant women, you know, like that was kind of the goat, like the weird combination. Mm-hmm. But no, I don't necessarily remember that.
My ex-wife Mandy and I, it wasn't so much because Mandy was a very out there eater. She had no problem trying different stuff, so she already had kind of a bit of an interesting palate. It was more the time. Like, it's 2 a.m. and she needs ice cream.
Oh, yeah. No,
and thank
I didn't
God
know that.
Cops at the time was a 24-hour, you know, grocery store and everything. That kind of thing. With my mom, it was really interesting. My dad talks about this. My mother is a weird eater. She owns that. She likes weird foods. She likes putting chips in her peanut butter and jelly sandwich and stuff. When she was pregnant with me, she would eat quote unquote normal.
More bland or more like kind of comfort foods, like that kind of thing.
Yeah, that kind of thing.
Interesting. No, I don't. You know, really, I don't recall that at all.
A few of the strangest cravings listed here, and we'd love to hear from you moms out there, 424-2600. Tell us your strange cravings, or if you didn't have any. I'd love to hear either one. 424-2600, call up and join the conversation. A few of the strangest cravings were pickles and cheese, sardines with ketchup.
Which part are you cringing about?
I don't know. I'm not even sure which one of those. And one woman who couldn't stop eating peanut butter and marshmallow sandwiches with 5 layers of bread. Jeez.
Okay, seriously. How much weight you think she had to lose after?
Yeah. Weird combos are big in general. They're the second most popular type of pregnancy craving. Here are the top 5. Seasonal foods that are hard to find, like it's June and your husband driving around looking for pumpkin pie. That was me. That was definitely one of the things Mandy did. Yeah, 47% of moms said that they had cravings like that. Weird food combinations, 42% did that. A specific food you could only get at one place or restaurant, 35% with that one. The big one, I think, with a lot of moms, junk food, 33% with that.
You know what I think is funny about this is that, so right now, right, we have cravings. Mm. There's a certain point where you're like, oh, this really sounds good to eat. But we don't always act on it. So why, when you're pregnant, is it a thing like to act on that craving? Because especially when it's, I mean, junk food, yes, moderation is, so as long as you're smart about it. But it's just funny to me that it's like you get this pass because you're pregnant that you're going to indulge every craving.
And the last one on here, I want to get in a healthy one. 33% craved whole foods like fruits and vegetables and that sort of thing. To your point, Terry, I think we've talked about this ad nauseum, like not just us, but like morning shows around the country for over decades. But we've never taken the next step of why. I think we all understand why a woman would eat more having another human being growing inside them. You're eating for two, literally. But why the cravings? Why that? Pregnancy cravings can be caused by a number of things, including hormones and heightened sense of smell and taste, according to national or nutritional defections. Cravings typically begin during the first trimester and peak in the second, but can happen at any time during the pregnancy. But the best answer we have is that when you are pregnant, your hormones and your senses are more up a
heightened.
Notch.
Yeah, yeah.
And with that, you're going to, maybe it is June, but you happen to think of pumpkins or smell a pumpkin or pumpkin flavored thing or something. And boom, instantly, the only thing that will satisfy your cravings is pumpkin pie and nothing else will do. That is the closest we have to that. I think it's kind of fascinating that as much as advanced as we are with science, with tech, with all these things, there are certain things that are still a bit of a mystery. It's still a bit of a
And it's fun, right? Because it's a short amount of time and it's something fun to talk about, that kind of thing. But and I always do kind of laugh the whole eating for two, because yes, you are eating for two, but you don't need double the calorie intake.
Oh, very true. Very true. Yeah.
You need more than usual. Absolutely. Right. And you need you definitely need that for sustaining that baby. But it is kind of funny. Sometimes you're like, yeah, you're eating for two, but one's really little.
I think, I don't know, maybe this is more common than I realize, but I think one of the weirder combos I've heard is a friend of mine recently, actually. His wife wanted peanut butter pizza.
What is that?
I don't know, and he didn't know, and so he went out looking for it. And could not find anywhere.
You know what I can think about with that is, you know, fruit pizza, right? Like that's more of it's like a sugar cookie bottom. And so you could do that. I mean, that actually kind of sounds good with peanut butter, honestly.
Not bad.
A little fruit on there, bananas. Yeah. And
they got dessert cakes, dessert pies, things like that. Yeah. Well, he was searching all over Southern California for this peanut butter pizza. He couldn't find it. So he's texting with me at stores
and
stuff.
Like, what would you do?
So I just told him, like, well, I don't know, buy some peanut butter and put it on a pizza. And he did this.
You can buy those pre-made crusts, actually.
She wanted apparently there's a type of pizza where it's like peanut flavoring they put on it, not like actual peanut butter.
Oh, so like when you're thinking about like Thai food, like peanut sauce.
Yes, like that. I completely
She should have articulated that a little bit better.
He brings her this pizza with like a clump of peanut butter.
I hope she was laughing her butt off. I hope she didn't get mad about it.
Last I heard, she thought it was hilarious. she couldn't believe it took him as long as it did.
Because she probably also called him a moron, but I mean.
I imagine. But I do know I heard her laughing in the background at what I heard of it. So
love it.
We got another That Ain't Right thing coming up. And of course, we want your feedback on these That Ain't Right stories. Everybody, feel free to call up 424-2600 and join the conversation here at WFHR. Welcome back to the morning show, everybody. Locally grown radio, Terry and James here with you. Not really feeling any pressure. Not really, you know, I mean,
it's coming.
Oh, wait. Now it is. Now I feel it. Okay, now I feel the pressure. It was the keyboard. I needed the keyboard.
Uh-huh.
Little Billy Joel playing us in here as we get into another interesting topic before we get into a couple of That Ain't Right stories a little later and such. It's always scary when you lose a pet because most domestic animals are not sharpened, have their survival skills very sharp or anything like that. So it's not surprising that, some animals we think, okay, they could do better than others on their own. I think that my parents' first dog, or not first dog, but the dog that I had with them for a while, Zeppelin probably would have been fine on his own. He was a lab. He was very self-reliant. A lot of those things. My fur brother, Sam, used to run away. And then there was, this has to be about a year or two ago. I was going over to my parents' house, and it's pouring rain out. And as I'm getting there, as they just got there to bring some groceries in, they're bringing the groceries in. Sam gets out the door and takes off. And I'm already halfway in the garage. And my mom's yelling, "Catch Sam! Get Sam!" Because he's hard to catch once he runs off. I come walking out, and I don't get two steps, and Sam is right there, soaking wet, begging me to pick him up. That dog has not tried to run away since. You can leave him without a leash just sitting there, and he knows where his bread is buttered.
I mean, hey, he's got it good. Why run?
He knows he would not survive 5 minutes in the wild by himself, and I respect that about him. So this is an interesting topic. 1 in 3 dog owners claim that their dog could survive in the wild without them. 27% of dog owners say that their dog needs a jacket if the weather drops below 40. So that's an interesting stat. I don't think those dogs are necessarily going to be able to make it. 16% say that their dogs need a poncho if it rains. 12% say that they also put booties on their dogs if the weather is outside.
Who are we surveying? Paris Hilton?
Right. Yeah. 44% of dog owners say that their dog sleeps in bed with them, and half feed their dog a healthy diet that involves a pet-safe fruits and vegetables, carrots and apples and those kind of things. So just some other interesting stats to come out of this article about the 1 in 3 dog owners thinking their dog could survive.
So the dog that needs a poncho is not surviving.
No. Any dog that you are putting booties on is not... I'm not even sure if you're surviving, let alone the dog is. I get what we're doing here. When I'm living in DeKalb, the first dog that I kind of really had of my own and my ex's was our little guy, Gonzo. And Gonzo was a littler dog, but a terrier. And it get, you know, the brutal winters that we would have there and everything. And you worry about them. So, okay, these booties things just came out. So we're going to try it. We're going to try putting them on them. And it takes like 15, 20 minutes to put it on them. And the poor dog needs to go. But you're trying to get these on them. That we go down the steps. As we're going down the steps to go outside, booty, 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 just flying off.
Yeah,
just flying
off. Because he's like, sucker.
I mean, yeah. As soon as the dog started to move, they fell off. Some of this stuff I don't think necessarily works.
I think you're right. You do have to be sensitive to things. Like we were talking earlier with the heat right now. You got to be careful for your dogs, and including their paws,
their
right,
paws on the surfaces. Their paws are so much more sensitive.
But I do notice in the winter sometimes, you know, we'll be out playing around, and we're all, you know, dressed up, whatever, and occasionally the dog will be like, after all, you know, one paw will come up and it's like, okay, yep, it's time, you know, yep, he needs to get in. But you just, if you're aware, pay attention.
Yeah.
You don't,
yeah,
need the boots if you pay attention.
You don't need to do that stuff. It was one of those things that as a person who had not grown up with dogs and didn't own dogs, I thought, oh, this is going to be best for the dog. It wasn't until I realized things like that, like you mentioned a great one, Terry, the paw up. That's a, yeah, great sign.
Now, my brother, who's an avid outdoorsman and hunter and that kind of thing, his dog, but it's a Vizsla, and they're very short hair.
Yeah.
He actually has a Carhartt.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
like a jacket, oh, for nice, winter. So like, but if he's out and about, or if he's out in his woods doing stuff, that it does help because he's not a, you know, long haired dog. And so I mean, sometimes it makes sense, but and sometimes it's just fun. It's kind of like Halloween costumes for dogs. Like,
yeah.
But they're fun.
Yeah. And again, I think it's just a matter of knowing your animal. If you're a good owner, if you're a good person that has a good relationship with their animal, you would understand that, okay, this dog likes the cold. This dog doesn't. His paw goes up. His paws are freezing. I need to get him inside.
Absolutely.
All you got to do is, to your point earlier today, just pay attention.
And right? None of these are indicators of them surviving in the wild. Just saying.
No, none of them are. No. Well, that's just the whole thing. We've domesticated this animal. Of course it can't survive on its own.
Have you ever seen Homeward Bound?
Yeah.
I mean, come on. They'll get home.
We do always hear those stories. They show up in,
you know,
our good stories.
They are kind of cool stories.
They are pretty interesting.
But keep an eye on your pet. Take good care of them so they don't want to run away.
Mm-hmm. We'll take a break, come back, and we'll wrap up the show with one more segment on The Morning Show at WFHR. Perfect. Welcome back to The Morning Show, everybody. Locally grown radio.
This could be good wake-up music.
Yeah, this would be good. Hope you're having a good day.
We're not, I don't know if you, we're working pretty hard over here, but I don't know.
We are always working hard.
If you enjoy what you do, then you never work a day in your life,
that's
right?
That's right.
All right. Tell you what it is getting us ready for football season. I don't know about anybody else, but that's all I'm thinking about
it's
right
coming.
Now. It's football, football, football. That's his first thing I hear. He might as well be saying, I know, football, 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 football. That's all he might as well be saying, the lyrics. Got some That Ain't Right stories we want to get to. And we, of course, encourage you to chime in on these, 424-2600. We'd love to hear from you about these. If you want to be a volunteer firefighter, there are several ways you could go about it. And we thank every one of our firefighters. And I use this story as an excuse to thank our firefighters and send a shout out to all of them out there. And certainly to remind people that our firefighters need funding. And when it comes up for, you know, on your bills or when you're voting or anything, encourage people to really look into the details of those. And understand that there are communities that have lost their fire departments because they don't put the funding into them. And a big thank you to all of our firefighters out there. But there are easier ways to be a firefighter than this. A 44-year-old woman in Florida stole a fire truck last Saturday. For some reason, the fire chief had let her spend the night at the station. And at some point in the morning, she took off with the truck. It ran out of gas and a cop showed up. But the woman didn't want him to be suspicious. So she pretended to be a volunteer firefighter who was out on the job.
Oh, there you go.
Oh, hello, Mr. Officer.
Smart. She's smart.
Don't mind me. Just taking care of a fire over here. Okay, where's the fire? What are you talking about? You can't pretend there's a fire if there's no fire. The cop sensed something was amiss, something was awry here. And so he looked into it and didn't see her name on the fire department's roster. She was arrested and charged with grand theft fraud, impersonating a firefighter, which I don't think a lot of people realize is a felony, but it is. Or I'm not sure it's a felony, but it is breaking the law. And it's unclear why she took the truck or if she was actually planning to do any firefighting or not. Who knows?
That is really weird.
Very
weird.
Or did
she have any experience driving something that big?
I mean, thank you, Terry, because while this is a That Ain't Right story, and I don't want to make light or jokes about it or anything, I was definitely going to talk to you off air about that. Like, how did she drive this
thing? I mean, I'm assuming in my mind, when you say she stole a fire truck, I'm envisioning the ladder truck.
Right,
I mean, it's probably not. It's maybe a tanker truck. But still.
I want to imagine it's the fire truck.
The ladder truck? Yeah, we're taking the ladder truck. Because what I was thinking is, if she needed to steal a vehicle, why didn't she steal, like, one of their regular, you know what I mean? Like,
yes,
they have regular vehicles. Not that I'm encouraging that behavior.
But
let's face it. If you're stealing a fire department vehicle, you're not smart anyway.
You don't have a lot of, there's the scepters aren't going off in your brain that well.
That is funny, though, how she was like, okay, I'm going to impersonate. Like,
and there was a half a part of her brain that thought this was a good plan. This was a good idea. Okay, you go ahead and fight that fire that I don't see.
So I wonder how far she drove, though, before she ran out of gas, because that's also a little concerning.
Why
wasn't the tank full?
Good question. Maybe they were going to fill it up in the morning.
On the way to fight the fire? It should have been full.
So we got one more That Ain't Right story for you, and I really want to hear from you all on this one. 424-2600. To me, it ain't right. But maybe to you it is. Would you pour maple syrup on a hot dog? Because this is basically that, but not for breakfast. Maple syrup flavored Spam is hitting grocery store shelves. You can already get it at Amazon.
I don't think that's terrible.
Okay, that's what I was waiting for.
Because, if you eat Spam, so you're either a Spam eater or you're not. Okay, so there's that. But if you were having, let's say, pancakes or French toast with a slab of Spam...
Yeah,
slab.
Yeah,
a slice. It's probably a slice.
Yeah.
But that's on your plate, and it's gonna get in the syrup.
Mm.
Did you ever eat sausages with pancakes?
I mean, yeah, I see where you're going there with that. Yeah.
I mean, or bacon. Your syrup touches the meat.
I feel like it's a misuse of syrup.
I think that if you ever look at Spam and all the obnoxious flavors that there are,
yeah.
I mean, maple syrup is probably not a far stretch.
To your point, there are 11 types of spam, and this one is not a limited time thing. They're adding it to their permanent lineup.
Isn't there like jalapeno or something?
I am.
Like, that sounds disgusting.
There
here we go.
There is Spam Classic. There is low sodium, Spam Light, maple flavored, Spam with rehomel bacon, oven roasted turkey.
Okay, so that's gross to me.
Hot and spicy. There it is. Jalapeno Spam.
Right, but
there
you're looking at a piece of Spam. Have you ever eaten Spam?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. So you're looking at it, and all of a sudden you put it in your mouth, and it tastes like roasted turkey. That's disgusting.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or teriyaki. I mean,
the people that I know that like Spam like the flavor of Spam.
But if there's want. All the question though, if there's already maple flavor, why do you need maple syrup flavor?
Yeah.
I haven't had Spam for years. My grandma used to make it. Slice it, fry it. I never minded it. I don't know.
Yeah, I know a lot of people. I know more people that don't mind it than do.
I don't know.
Just say my thing.
But some of those other flavors, like I could not, really, of all those, I could not handle the turkey, the roasted turkey dinner one.
Yeah, yeah.
No.
I'm just not my thing, but to each their own. And you feel free to call up and let us know if you'd like it.
So, Chicago boy.
Yeah.
The next time you get a hot dog, you're going to order it with syrup instead of mustard.
No.
It will soak into your bun really quickly, so you might want to eat it fast.
I will not be doing that.
Wah, wah, wah.
We need a palate cleanser, a real one now this time, real true palate cleanser. Let's get to some local good stories of the day. And it's Thursday. You know what that means. Got a couple of great events going on in our area. Of course, we want to encourage you to check out the Farmers Market, Wisconsin Rapids Farmers Market, going on Thursdays and Saturdays from 8 to 2 at First Avenue South between West Grand Avenue and Goggin Street. We know that we've got a bunch of great local groups over there. Our Boys and Girls Club are down there entertaining people and selling gifts. We encourage you to check them out and their stand and all the other great vendors that are down there. It's a great way to help out our ag industry and our great vendors.
Yeah, people were setting up when I came through this morning, so good showing there today.
The activities going on down there tonight, today from 9 to 1, KC Twist Balloon Creations will be happening. That's pretty cool. Go check that out, everybody.
When's the last time you had a balloon animal?
Oh, a long time.
Or a sword, a balloon sword, or the hat.
The hat would be cool. I like the hat. I want a crown.
When are you done recording? At 11?
Yeah. Right. Well, we'll go do that.
Let's do that.
And also, there is a 4-H foodie class going on as well down there.
Cool.
Wick is down there as well. Go ahead and say hi. And I know a lot of people like to do this. They'll check out the farmer's market and then go and check out lunch by the river.
I've been seeing that a lot. I love that. A lot of foot traffic on the bridge. On Thursdays, people, you know, starting at one side or the other and going to check it out. I love that.
I encourage you to go ahead and check out Lunch by the River. It goes on every Thursday right over at beautiful Veterans Memorial Park. Can't miss it. Going to be a great time. Today, they've got their sponsor is Anderson O'Brien Entertainment from Jackson Taylor. That's going to be good. Jackson's a good artist. That's going to be fun. And, of course, food vendors, Jamaican Kitchens, Rocky Rococo, Hawaiian Plate Lunch, Chatterbox, Lock Taqueria, a bunch of great vendors down there for you. And keep in mind, in just a couple weeks, August 3rd, United Way Day over at the Lunch by the River.
Stuff the best day. You know, let's talk about food.
Yeah.
I think, wouldn't it be cool if all these vendors were just set up like in a bit and you could just pick and choose? Like, I want a little bit of this from Jamaican Kitchen, a little bit. I mean, yeah. I get it. That's not going to happen. But it kind of sounds good, doesn't it?
Yeah. Oh, it does. Sounds real good. I wanted to get right to the United Way as well. I mentioned Lunch by the River. Stuff the Bus is coming up.
Yeah, August 3rd is our collection day for Stuff the Bus. So we are encouraging members of the community to purchase school supplies when you're out doing your shopping. And school supplies are out, to the chagrin of every child everywhere, but they are in the store. So we are asking people to join us in this effort to make sure that all kids in our area start off on the right foot, and that's with the supplies that they need. We are looking for your usual things, you know, scissors, crayons, glue sticks, but also folders and notebooks in solid colors. So if sometimes that helps because people say, I want to buy something, but I don't know what to buy.
Yeah.
You can see the list of most needed items on our website, but if you know, just err on the side of caution with red, yellow, blue, green folders and notebooks. Those are greatly needed. And again, we'd appreciate those to all be brought to us August 3rd down at Lunch by the River for our Stuff the Bus event, or in advance of that can be dropped off at United Way or many other locations throughout the community. And what happens that day is we inventory sort those, get them all right, get a good count, and then order the difference of what we need. So this takes more than a village. This takes a whole, this takes everyone in the community. And so we just encourage you to do what you can. And, you know, for some people that means 5-6 folders, and for other people that means they can pick up, you know, enough for a whole kid's whole list. But whatever it is that you can do to help, we greatly appreciate that, and the impact is tremendous. So you know, join us in this effort, and it's very much appreciated.
Find out more by going to uwswac.org. Be sure to follow the United Way on all their social media outlets. It's a great follow, great thing to have come up in your timeline, and great way to keep up with all the great things in our going on in our community with the United Way. uwswac.org. Terry, I wanted to wrap up on a world good story here. A teacher from Ohio middle school is donating one of her kidneys to one of his high school students. Here is Eddie McGrath, a math teacher who taught Roman McCormick geometry last school year, talking about the surprise Rowan with one of his kidneys here.
They had already had the call that was, you have a donor. And that's the big call.
Yeah.
That's the big phone call. So then when you get one a couple days later, like, hey, the guy who taught the Pythagorean theorem is going to give a kidney. So approached it as a math teacher. Like, odds are I won't be a match. I have two kidneys and I only need one. So that works. I have an extra. It's easy to just talk yourself out of it. If I would have put too much thought into it, I would have found some reason to not.
Very cool.
Part of the reason I love that is the honesty of it. The idea of, you know, oh, I, you know, if I didn't do it right away, maybe I'd have overthought it or something like that. I love the honesty in that. Mm-hmm. It's very cool. And I love that it's a math teacher doing the math of, well, I have two kidneys. I can live with one. It's great. It's
perfect.
Really good story. Thank you, Terry, for a great show.
You bet.
Have a great day, everybody. Stick around. Got good stuff coming up for you right here at WFHR, where we are locally grown radio.